Have you ever had questions that you wish you had your very own on-call pediatrician? Well, guess what? We are going to have a real pediatrician as a regular guest on the Dad Podcast. So if you have a question you have always wanted cleared up, please send it to questions@thedadpodcast.com. Because Dr. J wants you to stop Googling that shit and find out the real deal Homiefield answers from a real deal Homiefield pediatrician. So ask us at questions@thedadpodcast.com. Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. This is episode 50. I am here, as you could read on your iTunes, iPhone, not sure why I'm talking like this. This is some kind of white guy Obama, I feel like I'm doing. like Obama and Tom Likas had a love child. That's what I am doing right now with Joseph Bears. Hello. Hello, son. How are you?
Tom Likas. I only know Tom Likas from comedians doing impersonations of him. And
yeah. You never heard him in L.A.?
Mm-mm.
Oh, I had to have talked about him on this show, but he is one of the most offensive to radio hosts. Not offensive in, like, he's offensive, I guess, mostly to women. I'm sorry if I'm repeating this story, but I just think it's so funny because it's such a, like, in my opinion, he's a guy who turns it up a notch just for radio.
Right.
So what he did was the people would call in, they go, "Hello, Dad," because he's the father they wish they was at, and go, "Hello, son." And then they would say, and then this guy goes, "I got a problem." He goes, "I got a girl pregnant." He goes, "Oh, you didn't wrap it up like I told you. You always wear a condom because there are two things that women and children do. They destroy your life and your dreams."
Yes, I think he's been burned and is paying all kinds of money for divorces and stuff. Yeah. So he just hates women.
Yeah, he goes, "The only time to have children is when you have accomplished all of your dreams, because you cannot accomplish your dreams while you have children. They are a dream vacuum." So he's like, he goes, "What do I do, Dad?" He goes, "Here's what you're going to do, son. You're going to do the right thing. You're going to take her out to dinner. You're going to tell her that you love her, that you want to spend the rest of your life with her, and that she is the one for you, but you want to have some time with just the two of you before you have children." And he's like, "Okay." He goes, "Then you're going to take her to the clinic. You're going to do the right thing. You're going to pay for it. Then you're going to take her back home, and you're going to dump that bitch." And I was like,
"Wow."
Yeah, I was like, yikes. Just the idea that this
joke.
Yeah, this is just the idea that this guy is influencing any kind of men anywhere is just like, wow, wow. Well, kudos to you, Tom Likas. God bless you and all your podcasting ventures. He was the one that they were like, "Oh, you're going to do a podcast?" When they shut down the radio station in L.A. that he was broadcasting. I was like, "Why would I do that when I make money doing nothing? They owe me for a contract for the remainder of this year." Cut to 3 years later, "I'm doing a podcast."
Oh, my God. I need to listen to him.
Oh, here's the thing. If I honestly thought he would be fun to listen to if you didn't have to pay him. That's what makes it hard. It's hard to pay a guy.
Okay.
Who believes in that kind of, but why? It's an entertaining thing. You can listen to it for a month and pick up everything. Everybody, this is what I've heard. Everybody who moves to LA, you listen to them for like the first 2 or 3 months, and then it's just like, okay, I get it, and you move on.
Right.
So,
well, I tell you, I only pay for premium podcasts. Number one, the Dad Podcast, I pay for.
Thank you.
I almost spit out your Coke.
I did.
And number two, Never Not Funny. But those are my only two that I pay for.
I'm getting caught up on Never Not Funny, and this house that I'm looking, I was so angry. I was telling my friends yesterday that.
Wait, freeze. What? That's strange and different.
Yeah, I'm buying a house. And so this house that I'm trying to get, it's just been. I know I keep complaining about it, and I'll go into more detail. I'm going to have my dad on in this episode because he had this brilliant idea of anybody who's bought a short sale house, and if you had to do it with an unpermitted addition, such as mine has, It's just so stupid. It's so
saying words that mean nothing to me. Short sale unpermitted. You don't have to go into detail. I'm just, these words mean nothing.
They probably mean nothing to most. But here's the, I'm probably talking to five people that listen that are like, amen, brother. This is bullshit.
Short sale sucks. Yeah,
my real estate agent. And it's funny what when you're not in the humor industry, what passes as humor, you know what I mean? Like, so my real estate agent, his little joke is, he goes, so we're going to do a short sale on this thing, with this, which is anything but... Huh? Come on. Because it takes forever, is the joke on that.
Boy, the guys around the real estate water cooler think that. Dustin, I have news.
I know you do. Well, here, let me finish this, and then we'll get into your news.
Please.
I wasn't sure if you wanted to talk about it on the show, but I'm excited.
Oh, sure, why not?
All right. So the thing is that this... has a space that I could turn in like a bedroom on this unpermitted addition. So it has like a one bedroom type unit. It doesn't have a full kitchen, but it has a unit that's like a mother-in-law type quarters on the back end of the garage. So I could turn that into, huh?
Attached?
The garage and this place is detached from the house. So it's like off to the side of the backyard kind of thing. And I could use that to do the podcast, to do voiceover stuff. And it would mean that I wouldn't have to worry about the kids' schedules. I'm so unbelievably excited if we can make this happen.
Bring your girlfriend there.
Oh, my God. So many girlfriends. So many. I'm going to be banging a lot of moms that listen to this show. That's right.
Or the way you talk to every one of your new male guests.
Are you talking
awkward, weird man?
I don't understand.
I've just met you, but I got a crush on you.
I don't understand.
Guest name here.
What? I want you to know, Joseph Bears, that the listeners that send in emails are very, very happy when you bust my balls in this manner. So,
we go way back.
Yeah, but I don't understand. It's funny to me because 90% of it is humor. But I do. But the other 10%, I do look at this guy and I'm like, listen, you're easy on the eyes.
Right.
You're easy to talk to. I've said that about you many a time.
It's only funny because I know you and I know that you're being funny, but you're also being
serious.
You're so real and you're so fair and you're like, this is how I feel at this moment. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to hide it. I'm getting, you know, partial.
I'm getting a semi. I'm going to be honest.
Partial chub over this guy. Except for that big A guy. You never seem to find him attractive.
I'm not a chubby chaser, but I am attracted to his soul. I mean, you get two fat guys like he and I together, and that's just a mishap. That is a
big A would be like, riding a scooter.
Yeah, exactly. I could
super
I could,
fun, but you don't want anyone to see you.
Exactly. Yeah, he's a Vespa. He's a Vespa lay. Is what I mean. Yeah. but anyway, so with this house and the addition, I could have a designated landline that we could start taking callers, and so that brings me to the end of that story. Is that now never not funny? I don't know how caught up you are. But yes. They call people at the end of every episode. I'm like, oh, damn it! Like, if I would have just known about that. How stupid is it that I think that it seems like I'm stealing this idea from them when people are calling into a radio show? Like,
when it works, man, it is gold on that show because they tweet out. They're not doing it live yet. They want to start doing the radio show, the podcast live, so that everyone's listening to it, as opposed to Matt Belknap just tweeting out the number and saying, call in now. And then they don't get that many calls, but when they do, it's hilarious.
Oh, I love
so,
it.
Yeah.
I love it.
And
I
the Sklar brothers are starting to do like every fourth or fifth show now, they're doing a live recording.
And that's what I would like to do.
Big fan of those guys.
And that's what we call her on Twitter, the love intern, Rachel Gibbs, our family and sex therapist. That's what she wants to do. She wants to do like a live call-in show.
Yeah, so, a little crush on her too. You don't.
I do. I'm not. Listen,
cross all lines.
I got a lot of love in me, Bears. I got a lot of love in me, and I'm not going to hold it in. I should have been born in the '60s. Evidently, I would have had so many STDs.
God damn! I just met you, but I'm in love with you. You know what? You're my new best friend. Oh, God damn it! You're funny. I love you. Oh my God! If I were married, I would run away with you. Insert new guest name. Cam and I just met you, but I wish you lived nearby, so we would hang out all the time. Who's this again? Oh, yeah. Okay, yes, you.
That's not, I know these people. I don't absolutely say it to – well, now it's going to be awkward if there's ever a guest that I don't say it to, because everybody listening going, oh, he didn't care for that one. He didn't care for
it. When I come back on, I'll be like, well, what's wrong with this guy? Big hump or something? A big scary mole with hair growing out of it on his cheek?
No, I just, he's intimidating. I just felt, I found him abrasive, and I don't know.
Anyone, basically anyone you don't say you're attracted to, we know is overweight.
They're, or just a dud to talk to, and probably going to be the last time they'll be heard. Last time they'll be heard on the show, so.
No, you don't get many duds. When people are duds, you talk 90% of
yeah,
the time.
Yeah.
It's still a good episode.
Thank you. You're very kind. All right, now let's talk about your big announcement. What's going on? I have to pretend
the
like I don't know.
The Bears are pregnant.
What?
Yes.
You're going to have two kids now. Doo-dah, doo-dah. See how you're smiling? Wait for that to go away. Oh, the doo-dah day.
More of a grimace.
Yes.
Yeah, after listening to Bill Glass's episodes and now your situation, I'm scared shitless, but I'm very excited. We were trying for a very long time, and we were kind of starting – we're both a little bit older, so we were thinking, well, might not be in the cards, and that's okay. We were actually going to be okay with that, but the second, of course, I'll go back even further. We went to the doctor because we were really having trouble. It was really getting very sad. It was that month after month waiting, going, are you? Oh, crap, you're not. And then, okay, we're going to try again and trying, just going, going, going. And finally, we're like, let's go to the doctor and see what's going on. And my wife's counts were all very low. All the percentages on whatever needs to be at a certain level were all low. And the doctor said, so there's a good chance you're probably not going to get pregnant.
Yeah.
We were like, oh, bummer. And she was like, but you can take this vitamin. You can, you know, saying all this. And the doctor said, actually, by me telling you all of this guarantees that you're going to get pregnant.
Oh,
you know
really?
What I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know, but like as a, you know.
Like Murphy's Law.
Exactly, as fate would have it. And then literally the next time that it came around, she was like, oh, I'm late. And we're like, well, you're always late. And we always get excited and then we always get bummed out. So forget that. And then pregnant.
Boom. So no vitamins needed. No asterisks next to this baby. No way. This is not a Barry Bonds baby. This is real deal homie feel baby Ruth.
Yes. No vitamins, no special drugs, nothing. I just got in there and took care of business. Damn it. Did it. One more in me. Dustin. I'm like Peyton Manning. I've only got like two. I got to lay it out. I got to just lay it out there, you know?
I love it. Yeah.
I gotta leave it on the floor. I can't, you know, hold anything back.
No,
so
no. You don't have time to take it one game at a time. You have to, it's all or nothing.
It's not a wait until next year. I don't want to be like Dan Marino and retire with no Super Bowls. I want to, you know, get this done. So anyway, we're very excited. And because my wife's 38, full disclosure. So because at this point, the new thing in Colorado, at least, is if you're over 35, it used to be where for our first baby, they said, you can do the thing, it's called the amniocentesis, where they can check for Down syndrome and check for birth defects.
Yeah.
It was optional, and we did not opt for that. We were like, whatever we get, if we get a mutant alien, awesome. We'll raise it and love it forever. But for once you're 35 in Colorado, you don't have a choice. You have to do all these tests because they want to make sure that the mother is healthy. So they're like looking out for the mother with these tests. But it's and it's no longer this invasive, scary thing. It's literally a blood test.
Oh,
And at the same time, they do this like super duper sonogram on steroids. So at 10 weeks, we knew the sex.
Wow.
How crazy is that?
Wow.
We also, thank goodness, everything was good to go and clear and everything's healthy with the baby and mom. So we're very excited about that. So we are having another girl.
Yeah.
I'm working on that girls lesbian volleyball team. I got two down now. Okay, girls, rotate. Rotate. I went to the doctor. I went to the mountains. Yes, all right. Spike it. Set. You got to dig, Riley. Dig for that ball.
How about what about we try to make some kind of we go Indian on this thing and we have some kind of Bears Worsham arranged marriage situation?
Oh.
Are you comfortable with your daughters having older men? Are you?
I wonder if sisters have ever married brothers before.
Oh
That would be
yes, that has to have happened.
great.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. So Riley and Jacob, and then new baby and
And Jack,
Jack. Sweet.
yeah, I gotta be honest, there's a slight slim chance. I'm gonna maybe say slim chance that Jack might be an abusive spouse. So I'm just full disclosure. I'm just saying he's got a temper on him. He likes to swing the fists. And then also, so you could prepare Riley, is that if she does end up with my fair Jacob, she is going to get a very emotional man, much like his father. She's definitely going to be more manly than he could ever imagine to be. But he will be very sensitive to her emotional needs and physical needs, I believe. He will be a very sensitive, passionate man
Oh.
who will love her dearly and not try to do any kind of experimentation on her, is what I'm trying
They'll
to
be
get at.
like, wow. So they'll be in the sandbox, at like age, 5 or 6, and be like, hey, what if we played, and he'll say, what if we played pretend, what if we played pretend every day? And she's like, ugh, can you imagine? That bit did not go as well as I wanted
No,
it
it
to.
did. It landed.
But
It landed. It's hard because there's no
you knew
live
where I was going
audience.
with that.
Yeah, everybody knew about the can't even imagine. My favorite, by the way, my favorite part of that whole storyline of my life was when we added Rachel Gibbs to the show, and she said, "How did that go?" Like when I before Natalie could even respond, she was like, "Oh, well, good luck with that." Like.
I also, that episode was wonderful, first of all, but second of all, everything she said, you were like, you're blowing my mind. And I'm just like, common sense, jack off. Everything
Really?
she said was common sense. You're like, wait, men and women are different?
No, well, hold on.
Men, wait, men
Hold on.
want sex? What? Wait, men need sex to feel loved and women need love to have sex? What?
No, no.
Like, you're an idiot.
How dare you? How dare you come on my show and you
Hello, men are from Mars, jack off. She basically is talking about something that's been love and fair. Women are different. Ah.
I'm doing an episode with her right after this one, so I can't wait to run this by her to see if she thinks I'm just as dumb as.
So she's gonna be like, Justin, oh, you're saying such great things.
She's a therapist. That's what she's supposed to do. She picked. She's so.
Validating you.
She picked up that I was stressed from texting. Like I was texting her to schedule everything. She's like, "Are you okay? Smile." Like. And I was like, what are you talking? Like, how did you? I go, yeah, I'm just stressed about this house. She goes, I could tell. Like,
And she's free. Oh, how great.
yeah, she's
That's awesome.
awesome.
Getting validated for free.
How dare you? How dare you?
Justin, we all know you're not the sharpest crayon in the box, but
Wow. I
oh,
think you're
no.
taking
I'm talking
this
about
listener
wait.
feedback too far now. Now you're going to
No,
insult my intelligence?
freeze. I'm talking about when it comes to women. You're like, yeah, I've been with two women when I was 17 years old, so I got this locked down. Yeah, I spent my, late teens playing the field. So I've been around. I know what's going on. I can give advice. Oh, yeah.
I'm like a pioneer man in the
Like, oh, yeah, women? I got this.
like I could sit down with me and an Amish guy and tell tales of when we were sowing our wild oats.
Well, you're talking to all these comics
Yeah.
and actors and people that are probably,
Yeah, they just bang
spend
around
their
on the road.
20s, I mean, I've, oh my gosh, I've been had a lot of girlfriends and before I met my wife in my 20s and my early 30s, and it's like it really throws you for a loop. And I think the listeners and I am a little jealous sometimes because it's like you figured it out. I mean, I know Natalie and I know the two of you together, and you guys are awesome. And it's like you nailed it,
Yeah.
and you nailed it early, which is pretty freaking cool.
Well, that it's the, well, it's funny. That's why I'm laughing so hard at being a pioneer man. Is that I was never, even when I was 15 years old, I was never looking for just a girlfriend just to fool around with. I was never the guy who's like, if I could just get my penis into something. It was always like. I was always trying to find my wife. I was like, maybe I won't find her the first time out, but I'm going to figure it, like, maybe eventually I will figure this out. And so that's why it's so funny. And I always knew that that was why I got married so young. It's because Natalie was one of the first girlfriends that didn't have any issues with me or anything like that. And that's really all it took. All it took was her to be complacent with me. And that's enough to be my soulmate. I'm like, I'm in. I love it. And then I live with her for 4 or 5 years. And then it transitioned to where now she could do nothing right. So she's a lucky lady. And...
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm interested. I know you guys are excited about the two kids. Is there any fear? Do you have any trepidation of like, it's a weird kind of mindset because you want it to have, as much as I give it, having two kids shit on the show and complain about it in my standup, I love both my kids and I am happy that we have two children and I like watching them see brothers, but you have this weird thing where it's like you feel comfortable because you've done it before, but you haven't done it with two children. Like, and then when you have friends like Bill Glass and other people that have been on this show that just don't paint a pretty picture, it's hard. It's hard for you just to feel confident and like, okay, I got it.
Yeah, it was. We had a really rough first year with our daughter. It's just my wife was like, this is not fun. Mm-hmm. I'm not loving being a mother. We loved our kid to death, but it was very hard on us. We did a lot of things wrong, with sleeping and and so it's like, we're going to take all that now. And we're kind of excited about the second one because it's like, we know more than we did then. So we feel like it can be a better experience. We know it's going to be harder with two, but I know it's going to be completely different, but at the same time, it's like we were we're just going to breastfeed for 6 months. And it was difficult
because
it didn't go as smoothly as you think it's going. It's not puppy dogs and rainbows, like everyone says.
Yeah.
So now we're like out of the gate. We're like, if we got a supplement with formula, we're doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not going to be as anal as we were on the first one. And I think that makes a big difference. I'm excited about it. But yeah, we're both scared shitless. We know we're not going to sleep. We know it's going to be hard. Our house is too small. So we're also kind of in the market for looking for more space. So that's scary because that means we need more income.
Yeah.
But we're going to have more. We need more income, but we have less time to make that income because now we have two kids.
Yep.
It's, you know, it's just classic
life. Yeah.
American stupid problems while other countries are, you know, starving and looking for shoes. So, you know, but still, it's like we're scared. However, again, this is because I'm an older guy, Justin.
Yeah.
It's like, this is it for me. I mean, if I wanted to have more than one kid, it needed to happen when it's happening.
Yeah. So sooner rather than later.
I'm feeling really excited about it. I mean, you're a younger guy and you've already, you know, taken care of business and cut that away so that you don't have any chance of having any more. So, I wish that I could have started at an earlier time, but I met my wife later in my life as well. So it all kind of worked out for the best. But I'm going to be an older dad. You know, she's going to be graduating from high school, and I'm going to be, you know, in my 50s, which is just frightening.
Well, you,
both of them.
Here's the thing, and you've taken credibility away from me early on in this show because – while you say that you are older, you are physically younger than I am. I mean, you run a lot. You do the marathons. Your wife is also in outstanding shape, and I'm sure you guys
We have to be.
Right.
If we're going to do this, we have. There's no choice.
So, because here's what I feel like. You are going to have more energy to put into your children, even though you're maybe, 4 years, 5 years older than me? Then if that is, then I might as well be 10 years older than you in my energy level and my diet. So I think you'll be fine. I think that I guess what I'm saying is take any concern of me being tired and what I've said and throw it out the window.
Oh.
Because I could barely ride a bicycle for 30 minutes without feeling like my left arm goes numb. So you'll be fine.
Oh, I hope it goes well. But you know what? The first year was so miserable that if that's our bar, then guess what? It's only going to get better. Even if it's miserable, it'll be a little bit less miserable than the first.
Most of that misery came from also the – it's interesting that you – it's harder because you have two children. But the fun part is that there's less stress because you realize that there is less at stake, if that makes sense. You know?
Yes.
With the first one, you're just like – I remember one of my stupidest moments that I had with Jacob was he was, I think, seven, 8 months old. And we took him into the pediatrician and he was just – fat as fat could be, like, and he was just, you know, he just had baby fat everywhere. And I was telling her, I go, sometimes he just won't eat what he usually eats. And she kind of, in so many words, says, well, if he misses a meal, he's not going to waste away into nothing. Like, and what was funny is it took her saying that to snap me out of my stupid bullshit brain, because in my mind, I honestly, as even I couldn't, I don't know if it was because I was so tired or so worried or what, but I could not honestly think that if he missed a meal, he could die. Like, that was, although I know that sounds completely irrational, my brain was acting as if that was the case. That was honestly what was at stake. And we didn't have that with Jack. It's like, oh, you want to eat? Whatever. Yeah, here you go, buddy. Like,
right. You missed a meal? Tough shit.
Yeah. Well, you'll eat the next to go around, you know?
Right. That's how I was. And I still have that a little bit, and I'm getting better with if there's any sneeze or cough or sniffle, I'm like, don't get sick. Oh, shit. What do we do? You know, she's coughing.
Yeah.
And my wife's the one that always has to talk me off the ledge. But still, but I think with the second one, you know, it's going to be like, meh, throw some baby Tylenol and let's, you know, keep it moving here. Your whole thing with, I know the couple you're talking about when you were talking about the tooth stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm with you, man. It's like, don't be afraid to, you know, throw some of that. What do you call it?
Little teethers.
Yeah, don't be afraid to get in there and do that now. And it's with the second one, I'm like, whatever needs to happen, and it's gonna be, I'm gonna be so much more chill, which is exciting, because I was just so, you know, bubble wrap dad with Riley, and I still kind of am, but I think that just is gonna go away. And I don't know if you've seen that commercial where they're like baby one, and the mom has a stroller and two diaper bags, and the baby, and then it's like baby number two, and she's got her purse and her keys, and it's like, boom, let's go,
and a little cup of Cheerios, and that's it.
And it's so, and I'm like, damn, that's it, that feels good. It's like I'm ready for that. I'm ready to be more chill and less, you know, on edge and constantly, you know, freaking out about every little thing and sweating the small stuff. It's amazing when you see those moms just manage two and three kids in a mall or in a shopping center, and you're like, wow. And the kids just, you know, they make it.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, I'm like, oh, you know, we got to have it this way, and got to have her strapped in, and got to make sure, and holding my daughter's hand all the time if we're out in the public. And then you see kids just, you know, 2 and 3 year olds running amok, and mom's like not really even paying attention, and like, wow, I want to get there to a point,
to ruin everyone else's shopping experience, but
Right. But I envy that, because I've never been there, and I think it's going to, out of necessity, it's going to go down that road here real soon.
It's a lesson that I've kind of picked up from watching my dad interact with my kids, that it's an aspect of his parenting that I don't think it picked up from him, is that he was always kind of indifferent to what everybody else's perception was of what he was doing with me. And I didn't have that in me. And like recently I was like, you know what? I'm not going to put the kids in a shopping cart, because I'm going to go in there and I'm going to buy 2 pork tenderloins and then I'm going to leave. So they're all walking. And it was funny to me, the looks that I was getting, because I realized that I corral my kids like dogs. So like when Jack would get too far, I go, hey, Jack, close. And then he'd turn around and come running back close to me. I go, hey, this way, let's go. Like, you know, and
it's very similar. You know, I'm the same way. It's like, you know, at some point it's like, no, they're running towards the street. And it does feel like you're talking to a dog sometimes.
Yeah. Get over here. I've done the kissy noise when they were babies. I did the like that to get them to come to me.
What's the noise the dog whisperer makes when he's like trying?
Yeah. I did that to Jack recently because it's been years since we watched that show, and I did it to Jack recently, and it just buckled my wife. She was like, "Oh my god, did you just dog whisper him?"
Yes,
that's what our life has come to.
Well, you know, kids are exactly the same as dogs. I mean, we all can agree with that. That they're my babies, and these dogs are my babies, and I treat them just like my babies. So they're my babies. These are my children.
By the way, they're the same. I have a joke in my act where I talk about that, and it is not going over well here in Sunnyvale. I'll be honest with you that they
you got a lot of dog lovers.
I guess. Because I go, I know what it's like to have children. I had dogs. I have dogs. And I just go, and I tell them, I say, you know, fuck you. Why don't you try kicking your kid and tying him to a tree in your backyard and see how far that goes? Why don't you go on vacation for a week and just leave a gigantic bowl of mashed peas in the middle of your kitchen and see how that goes with a kid? And then, and it in like the other areas, like the Midwest and stuff, they go, bah! They can laugh. Yes. But for whatever reason, Sunnyvale has not been good to me this week. I'll be honest with you.
I'm the worst because, you know, people will show up with their, you know, their dogs in their purse, or people will come over and they'll have their dogs. And I'm so indifferent now to dogs, and I love dogs, but I'm just like, you know, some people are like, oh, dog, you know, they freak out over the dog. And I'm like, great, you brought a dog to a, you know, to another person's house that you have to worry about now in their yard and in their house.
Grocery store. Does that happen in Colorado as much as it does in LA, where people bring their dogs into a grocery store or restaurant?
No.
Or?
No, because most dogs in Colorado are more active, mountainy, dirty, you know, retriever, shepherd, you know, collie kind of dogs, where in Southern California you're getting a lot of the, you know, the
lap
smaller
dogs.
Boutique dogs that are really more of a status symbol than a child.
Yeah. Well, and to go back to what you were saying too earlier is like panicking and how your wife has to calm you down off the ledge.
Always.
I talked about it recently on the show that Jacob had to have a filling because he got a cavity, and I lost my mind.
Right.
And it's so funny, she keeps coming up, but Rachel kind of talked me off the ledge because she pointed out that the reason I was so freaked out is because I never had a filling. I never had a cavity, and whereas my wife had a ton. So she's like, well, this isn't a big deal. And so I had to be the one to go there with him to the dentist so that he could have this filling. And It is embarrassing, and at the same time, it made me feel better about myself as a father that I'm literally sitting there sweating, and I could feel myself getting hotter because I'm nervous and afraid for his well-being while they're drilling into him. And I know that they're not going to hurt him, but it's more of like I'm fearful for his emotional state. Like, I don't want him to panic and freak out. And it was so funny because afterwards I laughed at myself because I go, why is it that everything with my children is an after school special? Like, why is it that whenever something like this happens and I'm sitting there and I get choked up and I'm wiping tears from my eyes, these poor people at this dentist office, I wasn't bawling. It was more like a grown man crying at a movie. And when I say that, I guess I'm really only talking about myself. Like in a movie theater, like you do the thumb, like, oh, I got an itch in my eye, and you just, and the tear sits on your thumb. Thumbnail, you know, that kind of thing, or I keep doing that, but I have a very itchy eye on both sides for whatever, you know, like, and so I keep doing that, and I go, I'm very proud of you, son, you know, and he was so great, and the only downside, though, too, is there was an aspect that I was kind of looking forward to, the current YouTube sensation of videotaping your kid while he's coming off the laughing gas from dental work. And he did not have that. The closest he had was he had a very intense conversation about the movie that he should watch when he got home from the dentist's office with a babysitter. And he was just – it was like watching your kid coked out like in the early 80s. Like, he just was talking a lot and talking fast. Like, nobody else could get a word in edgewise because I got to tell you everything about Wreck-It Ralph and Return of the Guardians or – what is that? Oh, now I can't remember. Legend of the Guardians, maybe, or something like that. It's with the Jack Frost. It's you probably haven't seen it because you have a girl, but it's a pretty good movie. Anyway, but that I just thought
I can
it was
tell you all about Barbie.
Yeah, I just thought it was funny that I'm sitting there and it was all for nothing. Like, he's completely fine. There's no problem with it.
Do they put him out for that?
No. So what they do, and it's really interesting because the dentist that I went to, that's what our dentist recommended, because I said, hey, our son's got teeth. Like, when should he start coming to see you guys? He said, honestly, we prefer that he goes to like a kid's dentist office because it's very kid friendly. They've got pictures and stuffed animals everywhere, cartoons going, and they said that it's nice to start off on the right tone, like, and so the first time you go in there, and you have to pay for the cleaning because I think Jacob wasn't on our insurance or whatever, But you pay, you go in there and you have to pay for it, but they don't really do anything. Like, they just kind of, everything is easy, and they, like, barely brush his teeth and, like, just kind of look at him, and they go, okay. And then you have to pay $100, and you're like, well, what the fuck did you do? And you're like, well, and they...
Laying the groundwork.
Exactly. They're kind of like, well, yeah, this is what it is, and it's going to be a lot easier for him to go to the dentist now.
Makes sense. So
what they did was that they said, okay, they found a cavity. He has no plaque on his teeth ever, but because Natalie wasn't flossing his teeth, they found a cavity in between his molars. And so
what's got to throw under the bus.
Well,
got to get her under that bus.
How is it throwing her under the bus when it's fact? Is it my fault she doesn't have a podcast to tell thousands of people about my shortcomings as a parent? No. Everybody knows anybody can have a podcast now. And if she is more than willing to try to find some flaw in me, she can find flaws in me as a husband, but very few as a father, I think. But anyway, so we go there, and they, like, last minute as we're walking out the door, they go, oh, there's a cavity here. We see it on the x-ray and stuff. And so they give him a mask, like the little nose mask. And they ask him what flavor he likes. And they said, he said, do you have grape? And so they have different scented masks that, so you go home and you just kind of practice. You put it on their nose and tell them just to breathe through their nose. And then you keep it in a Ziploc bag, so it holds on to its smell. And then you bring that back with you. They hook the nitrous up to it. And then they tell him, okay, smell the grapes. And then he sits there and breathes in the grapes. And then that just calms him down. And then they put, like, a numbing gel on his teeth. And then she goes, okay, I'm ready. And it's everything. Like, they've got it worked out to a science. I even went as far, because I was so nervous, is that I made a note on my phone to give to her saying, we didn't tell him anything about a drill. We just said he's supposed to breathe through his nose. And because I figured you guys have a system and I didn't want to muck it up. And she's, like, reading it in front of him. She's like, okay, yeah, this is good, you know. And so he's sitting in the chair, and then the assistant hands the needle behind his head, and then the mask blocks his view kind of his mouth. And so she comes in very low, close to his chin, and then she has a thing that she wiggles his tooth or his, like, head a little bit. And as she's wiggling it, the motion, I guess, distracts him from even feeling the sensation of the needle at all. And at one point, he goes, ow. She goes, oh, did that hurt a little? She goes, okay, well, here, we just got to wiggle it a little bit more. And that was all he ever said as far as ow. He was totally fine. And she was constantly checking in with him while she goes, okay, we're going to brush your teeth to get all the sugar bugs out. Meanwhile, it's a fucking pneumatic power drill that she's taking to his mouth. And he's just like, whatever, man.
And that's when you're like holding back the tear.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Oh, I'm sitting in a chair in the door going, oh, my God, he's doing so good.
Yeah, I'm so proud of you, son.
Yeah. It was I was a total jackass. But it's funny because really what that is, it's the same kind of thing that you don't know when you have the second kid. And it's the same thing that I realized that the only reason I was freaking out is because I never had a filling and I didn't know how to help him or any of that stuff. Right. It probably would have made more sense for Natalie just to go with him. But she had to work on that day. Anyway, now I'm babbling. But
she'd probably screw it up and he'd have another filling by the time she was done with him. Because,
now,
you know.
Now you get me. Now you get me.
But listen. You know what I can't wrap my head around, and maybe you can help me with this, is that I know that the second child is going to be different from the first, mm-hmm. but I can't picture or imagine, because you're like, oh, Jacob's like this, but Jack is completely different. It's like I feel like I'm going to get the exact same carbon copy of the kid I have now, I'm like, which I got on lockdown, but of course that's not going to be the case.
No.
So I don't know. Were you prepared for that? Were you thinking you were going to get Jacob number two when Jack was born? Or?
Oh, yeah.
I just don't even know how to, you know, think about that. It's going to be so strange. A different personality? What? That's not possible.
Yeah, it's weird because you honestly do look at it and say, well, how could it be different? Because you have no frame of reference. Even though – this is the weird thing about how our brains are wired. Even though you could look – like I looked at my nieces and nephews and saw that there were differences between the siblings within their family – and I still said, well, it's because I have a different system. Like, I'm different from them. Therefore, I will have a different result. But it doesn't work out that way at all. Like, here's what I do think, in my opinion, and is that there are similarities because you will raise both of them the same. So they will both. But the weird thing is that what you have to be prepared for is that they will react differently to the way that you raise them. And that to me is what really makes their personality show differently for you, is that you're going to be like, well, this isn't, I don't think you understand. This isn't what your sister Riley did. Like, you want to sit down and have a powwow. and say, no, you see, Riley would just lay down and go to sleep. Or and it's weird too. I would suggest that people who are having a second kid, and maybe people who already have multiple kids, would agree, is that you also try to focus on celebrating the things that are easier, because there will be things that are easier with the second child, but you kind of glaze over those because our brains are so ingrained in thinking of what is hard and like focusing on working on that. But I think it might give you an opportunity to just to be able to take a breath and go, well, at least this one sleeps better or eats better or whatever it is, you know. Yeah. Whatever was difficult with Riley, like you might find, I don't know if it's because of supply, but you just might find that the second daughter will breastfeed a lot easier and just take to it and it'll be fine, you know?
Yeah. But that would be awesome. I think we've talked about this before, but we had, I mean, you know, we were living check to check, but now use that analogy with breast milk.
Yeah.
I mean, we were going from feeding to feeding, and then my wife would try to pump to get extra for, you know, to fill up the freezer. We never had it. We never, ever had it. So it was 6 months of that, and it was really, really difficult. So, yeah, we started supplementing, I think, after 3 months because we had to. We didn't have anything saved. And then I hear people, you know, oh, I had freezers and freezers full of milk, and I
that
donated it to, you know, it's like, shut up. Damn it.
That was us. That was Natalie almost made so much milk it was to a flaw. Like she got a couple of clogged ducts because we were so dumb about it that she would literally pump herself dry so we had extra. But then what happens is when you pump yourself dry, then it says, oh, we need even more the next time. And so then her poor boobs were like so engorged, and then it would cause a duct to clog. And that, God bless her for that. That is something I can never throw my wife under the bus, is that when those children are babies, like when they are babies and they are in her care, my wife is on it and in it to win it and will do anything. Like she told me, she would sit there and just kind of slowly weep while she would be feeding our son because she had a clogged duct. And I go, are you okay? And she goes, yeah, it's just, I got a clogged duct. I go, well, can't we do something about it? And she goes, no. She goes, I called the doctor and they just said you could put a hot compress, but it's better if he just eats through it. And she said, it's like taking a steak knife and stabbing it in my breast and twisting it every time he sucks. And I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. Like, and it's that helpless father thing that you have just sitting there and watching it happen and not being able to do anything to help at all other than just maybe holding a hand or whatever.
Yep. But, yep. It's the hardest thing. And we were there too. We had the same thing. We had mastitis.
That's what it is. Yeah, that's the same thing.
Yeah, we had mastitis as well, and it was, you know, it was my wife crying through feedings, and I'm like, oh my God, that's the hardest, worst.
And it's funny because you read so many things about everybody likes to do a hippie thing of saying, oh, breast milk is so much better. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I don't know, but it's kind of a disservice to people who have difficulty, because now it feels like, I don't know, but maybe I'm putting words in your guys' mouth, but it almost feels like this unnecessary sense that you failed because you can't make milk. And it's like, oh, maybe we shouldn't be doing this, blah, 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 you know? And in actuality, it's like, you look at Riley, she's a perfectly healthy, happy baby. You couldn't even tell the difference. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly. You feel, and we did. It's like the second we started going to formula or supplementing, we were like, we're failures. We failed. We're bad parents.
Yep.
We didn't do a good job.
You're going to go to the doctor. Just take her back. I find another home.
Yeah. And now I'm like ready to like, okay, we'll supplement in the freaking hospital on day two if we have to, because, you know, we don't want to go through this drama again. And we also know that if we do supplement, it's not the end of the world. The kid's still going to grow. You know, we buy the stupid double priced organic formula, which might be completely dumb, but it's like what makes me feel a little bit better. So it makes me sleep better at night. So I'll pay the money and there you go.
Who cares? I do like the oxymorons of organic formula. Like I like that.
No, exactly. It is totally oxymoron. And I put the moron in that. but you're also the one giving your kid Cookie Crisp cereal with organic soy milk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what we do. We give them Lucky Charms, but it's organic Horizon with omega fatties for brain development. FHA omegas for brain development while they're eating Lucky Charms and going cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Our kids go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs in the most intellectual way possible because their milk helps their brain.
It's snack time. Here's your farm-raised organic carrots and Flamin' Hot Cheetos. Yeah. Go.
Oh, it's so true. So true.
You know what's weird? We have to, my wife had a C-section on the first one. Uh-huh. And also because of her age, we have to, we get to pick our child's birth date.
What?
We have a, we have
a window.
Another thing is, yeah, we'll basically have a 2-week window where it's like, okay, it's this is your little window. When do you want to come in and get this done? And it's not, we don't have a choice on this one either. It's like, because if we tried to go natural and there was a problem, there's a, like a 10-minute window where they'd have to do the C-section or there could be huge.
Yeah, it's just easier. I always thought that once you have a C-section, you always have to have a C-section because of the situation of like having to be sutured up at some point. Like
not officially, but, oh, okay. But
they suggest.
They say, and then for the age thing, they're like, yep, we got to do this because and it's all for the protection of the mother. Because yeah. It's like they're saying, you know, we have to protect the mother in this situation. So, so that's kind of cool. And her the due date is the end of October, beginning of November. So, like, do we want a Halloween baby, or is that weird? Are we going to have too many weirdos out that night, or you know, do we want to wait till November 1st and just do it on 11/1?
So yeah,
we're talking about that. It's kind of cool.
11/1/13. That's that's not a bad yeah, because it's 1/1/1/1. That's what I would choose if I have any kind of say.
Yeah?
In this.
All right,
listeners, send in your emails to Joseph Bear's pick. Is let's have a contest for iPad. Pick the new Bears baby's birth date. Winners are gonna get not only that, but a prize package of a Dad Podcast coffee mug and T-shirt and grocery bag, as well as having the right to choose the very day that Bears will birth his child.
You know what else? You can then call into the show and Justin will have a crush on you so fast.
Oh, my gosh. That's a given. If you're listening to the show, I already have a crush on you. That is already. If you're paying.
If you're a man.
Yeah. If you're paying the $2 a month or $24 a year, I masturbate to you. I want that that is definitely a given. That's a given for all, especially you moms. I'm sure that makes you feel very comfortable. Those moms, every time you see that $2 fly out of your monthly statement, I want you to know. That's what Daddy's doing. He's giving you the old one-handed salute.
Like the things I've been posting on the wall? Listen.
I do. I was just going to talk to you about the recent article, that the guy who has the blog where he kind of said that, you know, I'm tired because I have 3 kids that are under 5. And it's so funny that it's interesting to me that you kind of enjoy having those kind of validations. And maybe that's why people like listening to this show so much, is to realize that you aren't by yourself in these thoughts. You know, like you're not, like there's one that really resonated with me, especially recently with this whole bullshit about being so stressed out about the house, that when he said that you're not a horrible father or parent just because you yell at your kid. He's like, they're little dictators. And you know what I mean? And it's not like this guy's an expert. He's not a doctor. He's, you know, he's just a guy who's raising 3 little children too. But for some reason, because his opinions are in text and I relate to them, I'm like, okay, good. All right, good. You know? It's not just me. It's not just me.
Oh, yeah, I'm pulling it up right now. I mean, it's to actually look at it from a realistic and I can sometimes be the most guilty. If I have my kid all day, I'm counting the hours and then minutes until she falls asleep.
Yeah,
I've had those days. It's hard to admit, but I've been there and I've done it.
And I don't know why. I really wish that I could find a way to make this funny, because I would really like to discuss it in my act, because it's so interesting that as a society, I don't know. Like, here's my fear. My honest to God fear on this is that we have people that look at us, like if we could have these people that I like to make fun of that on this show, listen to the show and go, like, I guess there's an element that, what if I am a white trash parent? You know what I mean? Like, who I would look at, and a mom who barely looks at her kid and doesn't change the diaper or any of that stuff, like that I would go, I don't know if I agree with your methods. You know what I mean? Like, and then have these other people who are super, I imagine to be super PC and stuff, and that if I am failing, but when so much of who I am and a part of my life is like, but that's, I feel like that's normal. Why can't that just be normal? Because I'm the same way. Like, I'll be sitting there and I go, man, if I could, like, Jack has slept recently for easily 3 to 3.5 hours, sometimes 4 hours, because I think he's going through a growth spurt. And then we went and played with some friends of ours, so he was just going nuts. And I loved it. Like, I was like, oh, thank God, this is great. And then I have that thought of, like, is that sad that I that I don't want to play with my kid, or that I don't want him there. Like, I just want to be able to sit and watch TV or play video games. Like, what's wrong with me? And then because I travel for my job, like I tweeted this last night, and I said that I miss I have these weird things where I could smell them, my sons, and I miss hugging them and talking to them. And then I go, why can't I have, I said, I hope I can hang on to this feeling when I get home, because sometimes I feel like I get home and then I'm thrown into it, or maybe I'll have a day or 2 hours before I'm like, okay, it's time to fucking listen. Right. And I really, and people who have older children, maybe you can laugh at me or write into the show and tell me that either I'm right or I'm way off, but I really think that it has to do with their age right now, that there's going to come a time when they get older and a little less dependent, and when both of them are older, like if both of them are above the age of 4 or 5, that then it's like there's some conversations that can happen, and that there's at least an understanding. And because I feel like these early parts of their life are nothing but them testing boundaries. And that's right. What really weighs us all down and makes, like that guy who wrote that blog post, makes you feel exhausted, because 90% of your parenting is just constantly drawing lines in the sand. That's all you do. There's no stimulation. And like he said, there are these magical moments of cuteness and stuff like Jacob saying that, he goes, are we almost to the dotted line on this house? You know, in so many words saying,
oh,
I just,
that's cute.
It's very cute. It's very fucking adorable. And then there, but 90, but that's, those are so small and so isolated. And I don't know that that's what I'm banking on right now.
Yeah, one thing that really resonated with me in that article, and I think it's on your Dad Podcast Facebook page, but if it's not, everyone should read it. But
I'll put it up there.
Is that he feels you're not a terrible parent if you're not giving proper discipline all the time. And, yeah. You know, I have that moment where I can be, and it's okay to tell your kid that you're sorry because of the way that you acted. Because, yeah. I mean, I've had moments where I've just, you know, gone off on my kid and I'm just like, God, I'm an asshole. Mm-hmm. You know, why? And then you look back and you're like, oh, I should have done this. I should have done that. I should have been more calm. She doesn't understand, you know, when I'm like, stop whining. And I'm just like freaking out about my daughter whining about something very simple. She doesn't understand what stop whining means. She doesn't understand that it's like, I just need to take that moment. And it's okay to have bad parenting moments and let yourself off the hook a little bit, because sometimes I don't let myself off the hook and I wrestle with this, like, and I'm like, I hug her tighter and she's like, what the hell's wrong with you? And I'm sorry, yeah, that I yelled at you. I'm a bad dad.
It's so funny to hear you say that, because having known your wife and you, there's this element for me that I'm like, I could not imagine you guys having any aspect of that and interacting with your daughter as well, that it just seems like you guys seem so mellow and chill. And I maybe we're all wired that way, where we're all wired to think, well, everybody else except for me has this figured out. Like, you know, everybody else is doing it right.
Justin, here's the thing. When I see you with your kids, I'm like, oh man, him and Natalie have this lock. Like we all went to that restaurant before your show in Denver. Yeah. And Natalie and the two kids were there, and I was just watching the two of you rock it out. Like, you guys had a system. You were like a well-oiled machine when it was like food, check, walk around, change a diaper, one goes to the bathroom, one's playing, you know, playing coloring at the table. I'm like, these guys are freaking super parents, and I
– really?
As a parent. Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
But I think that you look at the, but then you look at me and our, and you know, we come over and go swimming or whatever with our kid. And you're like, wow, these guys, you know, these guys have got it. And I it's so funny. I'm always, every time I see parents, I'm like, wow, they've got it figured out.
That's what I see the pictures that you have on Facebook, or when we get your guys' lovely Christmas cards and stuff of you, like there's Riley fishing by a lake or something. And I'm like, my kids hate going outside and I'm failing. I wish that I could send them to like a bear's camp. Like like you could go and then you could go hiking with them and teach them to enjoy that stuff. When most likely they might not, they'd be like, oh, this sucks. Like, I don't know, but you know what I mean? Like, but it is funny that your brain is naturally wired to go, even though you and I have had conversations and laughed about, oh, it's so hard to have a little kid, you know, kind of thing. But
yeah,
that's, I've never, honest to God, I've never heard those words of anybody looking at me and my kids and going, wow, they got a system. They got it figured out. Like, that's never happened to me.
Dude, but your wife is posting photos of just her with your two kids at Disneyland, and it looks like everything's calm. Everything's, I mean, of course, people aren't going to send pictures of kids having meltdowns on Facebook.
Right.
But your wife's like, you know, you send, what a great day, and they're both riding, they're both happy. I mean, I can't even imagine going to a theme park with just me and two kids, or just my kid almost. I'd be like, yikes.
I told her not to go because I feel like, even like, this is funny because it's like almost a show within a show in that I'm misrepresenting, I guess, your life, just like you're misrepresenting mine. And then I'm even misrepresenting my own life within my own marriage, because when my wife tells me I'm going to go to the Disneyland with the kids, and I'm going to be like, no, because you can't go 5 days at the house without calling me with some kind of situation or needing to take a child to the hospital. Why do you need to up the ante? Where is the difficulty level needed? Just make it easy. Just sit and put them in a closet, drug them, something. You're right. So I guess the only thing that I've now learned from this conversation is that in reality, that I really think that there's a chance that our own kind of quote unquote attitude kind of dictates the mood of our children to a certain extent, but it's an unfair expectation to put on ourselves to think that we have to be happy all the time, or that we have to be completely understanding and completely patient, when in actuality, that is not life. And that's what I'm a big fan of in raising my kids, because I think that's what my dad did, is that everything that he did with me always represented how the real world will be when I left the house. There was always some element of that always informed him in his parenting, and I don't know. I appreciate it now as a grown up, and I don't have the memory of really hating him or anything like that. Like I sometimes think that my kids are going to do, or they're going to look back. I do have a lot of light at the end of the tunnel thoughts, where I daydream about my kids looking at me, because I'm like, oh my God, I hug them and I kiss it. Like Jack especially is like, ow. Like he's like, stop. Like leave me alone. Like, cause I keep hugging him, you know? And yeah. I wonder if I will be that dad that I don't see myself in that light, but I could see how I could be painted that way, where I'm the huggy feely dad, and I'm the only, I'm the father of the groom that's crying at the wedding, you know? And that there's an element that they're like, oh, dad, but my daydream fantasy is that they'll appreciate it, and that go at least like, you know, it's a way that I show that I care or whatever, I guess. But I do have a lot of those kind of daydreams and go, once I can get it to where you're not shitting yourself and I don't need to carry 5 pounds of equipment to leave the house, I think my boys and I could go have adventures in the afternoon. Like, I just like the idea, and it's unfair to Jack, but I also have a lot of times where I think about, I go, man, it would be so great if Jacob, like when I go home tomorrow, it would be so great that I could pick up Jacob from school and he and I could go see After Earth, because he loves going to the movies and he loves any kind of movie. It doesn't matter if it's rated R, PG-13, whatever, he loves it. And I go, great, I would love to have a movie buddy. But then the problem is that I got to pay a babysitter $17 an hour to take care of Jack, because Jack can't do that. He doesn't understand to sit and be quiet and all that stuff like Jacob can. But eventually, we will both be able to go, and I could go take my children to inappropriate movies and expose them to violence and make the world a little bit of a better place.
Oh, my gosh. You can all gather around the TV and watch Dexter.
We got to talk about this. You would be fun to talk to about this with, and then we got to wrap it up, because I know you have to catch a flight. Are you okay on time?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. I actually did show Jacob an episode of The Walking Dead. He saw the pilot, because I think the last time you and I talked, that was on the agenda.
Oh, the pilot with the little girl, the half girl on the bicycle. Yep. Oh, you asshole.
Yep. Now, but here's the kicker. I know that there are people judging me, and this is honestly something that there's an inkling of me that goes, what if I did do something? Because you don't really know. You don't really have an understanding, but there's a bigger part of me that goes, he didn't care. He just sat there looking at it. And I said, now here's the thing. I go, I want you to know, this is all fake. None of this is real. I said, they put a bunch of like makeup, like it's almost like Play-Doh, but they try to make it look real, because that's part of the fun of watching shows like this, is people like to feel a little scared. And I go, that's fun. And he's like, yeah, just hit play. Like, he's kind of like, let's just get into this. And I go, if at any point it gets too scary, I go, you let me know and we'll talk about it. All right. And he's like, yeah, okay. So we're watching it. And then he's looking at it. And there's a part in his face that I could tell he looks like maybe he's a little scared or a little confused or freaked out. And I go, now, you know, this is all fake. And then I go, they're all wearing makeup. But then he didn't understand. So he thought that was part of the story, that the sheriff didn't understand that these people were all making, like, so there was an there was an element of it that I thought was really funny, where my son, for a moment, misinterpreted the storyline of The Walking Dead to be an exaggerated prank show a la Truman Show. Like, this is all
right.
This is all just a really funny hidden camera event for this one sheriff who got shot on a freeway, and they're like, it's gonna be really funny, guys. Let's get this together, and he's gonna like this a lot. He's turning 40 soon. He's always wanted to have something like this, you know.
Wow.
And I go, well, in the show they think it's real. That's the idea. But in real life there is no such thing as zombies. And I feel like the only therapy issue I'm going to deal with is that if this zombie apocalypse does eventually happen, that's where I'm going to fail him as a parent. He will feel betrayed. He will feel lied to.
I think you're in the clear. My perspective is I don't judge you. I wouldn't do it. And my only thing is I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
But I have no judgment. And I think that you are always talking about how you frame it and how you present it, which I think is the most important thing. And that's why I don't judge it at all. I think it's the parent that just puts anything on TV and walks away, because you're all, you know, you always have conversations and you're explaining and you're like right there. You're in it to win it. You're not like putting Walking Dead on and then going on your computer and working.
Yeah.
That's a big difference.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
It's the kids that, you know, are latchkey kids that can watch anything they want at like age 10, 11, 12 that probably turn into, you know, the serial killers.
Yeah. Yeah. And I,
or just, you know, bad kids. Not bad kids, but
no, I know what you mean.
Something's off because they don't have someone to bounce off their feelings and their questions of, because there's, you know, parents that just aren't there emotionally, or aren't there to talk to. So I think just the fact that you're aware and you're present is the reason why personally I don't judge you.
Well, the only real flaw that I think I have is there is also an element of me doing it because I think it's funny. I think it's funny that it would bother other people. So that's the only part that I think is unfair to my child, that I'm like, the more people go, I can't believe your son has seen anything on Dexter, the more it makes me want to go, all right, what is the pinnacle? And I felt like he was asking about it. It's not like I forced it upon him or anything like that. But I like the idea that, and he, here's the thing. He watched the whole pilot and afterwards was utterly disappointed. Like he was like, and not like, well, that was horrible. I just go, okay. And he goes, is that it? And there was a part of me that goes, maybe this is too much. Maybe this is too much. And I waited till it was over, and he understands that the credits go, and he does that kind of stuff where if the credits go, he's like, let's watch another one. Like whenever we're watching Spider-Man, the old cartoon show, or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or whatever, he's like, let's watch another one. And or if we do a video game level, he's like, let's do another one. I go, okay. So the credits happen, and he goes, that's it? And I go, yeah. I go, well, that was the first episode. But I go, do you like it? And he was like, yeah. And then he was like, well, let's watch some SpongeBob. Like he wasn't affected by it. He didn't have nightmares that night. Has never talked about it since then. But it's like it was very interesting for me, because now here's the thing. If his mother was sitting there going, oh, my gosh, like just constantly reacting like she always does, I think that would heighten it for him. And then he would like to watch it to watch her squirm. Like, that would become the new thing. Like, is this scary to you, Mom? Like, he likes doing that stuff. Because when I told her that we watched The Walking Dead, she was like, oh. And she goes, that's too scary for Mom. He goes, no, it's not. It's not scary. You should watch it. Like, you know, kind of thing. But I just like
Play-Doh on people, Mom.
Yeah, it's just Play-Doh. You, trust me. And he does say stuff like that. He goes, Mom, zombies aren't real. It's just makeup. It's totally, like, he repeats what you tell him. But
I mean, yeah, and people that have something to say about whatever you're doing, it's just you just shut up. You want to punch him in the face.
Well, nobody has. There's everything. I think all the responses that I've gotten from that is more people kind of laughing. And that's the nice thing about the little community that we have around this show, is that it is built on the concept of, like, listen, we're all just trying to do the best we can, and everybody's got different tactics. And I'm not here to tell you what's right or wrong. We're just here to share information, I guess, for lack of a better way of putting it. And if you want to show your kid Dexter and I can laugh at it and make fun of you for it, that's okay by me. Like that.
Yeah.
'Cause I love it. I honestly honestly love it when the listeners post anything that they tie it back into, oh, this you won't do, but because somebody said something like he's too busy showing them a Dexter season, or they're doing a season marathon of Dexter or something, or that's why he can't do this or whatever. And I love all that stuff.
Well, I'll tell you one funny. I know we got to do moments of the week, but I'll tell you one funny story. Back when Riley was maybe 4 months old and still breastfeeding, we took her. My sister came in town. And we went to a Rockies game, the baseball team in Denver. Mm-hmm. So we took her to a Rockies game at 4 months. And so we're coming in, and my wife has Riley in the, what do you call it, snuggly?
The snuggie.
Whatever it is, yeah. And the woman taking the tickets was, like, obviously retired, and she looks at my wife and gives her this nasty look.
Really?
Says, isn't she a little young for a baseball game? And my sister looks at the lady and says, aren't you a little old to be tearing tickets? And then we walked in, and I'm like, that was a home run right there.
That was great.
That was killer.
Wow.
But it's like people that judge anything you're doing. And you know, it's that whole grocery store is the most perfect example of.
It's concentrated there. Yeah.
So concentrated of people looking at you and going, wow, you know, judging you and having – everyone's got to have something to say. And 9 times out of 10, it's women, I'm sorry, that have something to say. And it makes me crazy. And then I think it gets concentrated even more when it's just you with the kid.
Yep.
It's just the guy with the kid. Women love to have something snarky to say. It's that whole stupid Huggies that Huggies commercial where men are idiots.
Yeah.
Let's see if they can.
Can they change a diaper for all day? Because they probably won't, which is why we made Huggies for your husband. These are the diapers you can leave alone with your man to handle your child, and he will be just fine for 3 weeks. He won't need a diaper change.
Makes me crazy. So I just love it when there's those moments where you can just kind of snap back and have that perfect retort of just like, you know what, lady, just shut up. And we want to go watch the Rockies. And just because we have a kid doesn't mean our life's over. We
right.
can still do stuff.
Well, it's so funny to me because like we kind of did that. We didn't obviously confront anybody, but it was also us kind of joking because we went on a cruise to Mexico. And the whole idea was that we had two friends that were on the cruise that had two kids as well. And so we left our kids, and then there was another two couples that were with us that did not have children. Well, one of them had like a teenager, so that was different. But anyway, there were people there that had like 4 or 5 month old babies on this cruise, and we kind of did like, whoa, look at these guys, you know, like. And there was an element of it's because we get to make fun because we didn't have ours, but there was also an element of us going like, why? I don't understand why. And to me, that is very different at a baseball game because you're just sitting there watching a very mellow, chill sport. Like maybe there's some Peanuts and Cracker Jacks involved, I understand, because I listen to their radio station. But
because you live in 1953.
you get the opportunity of putting an oversized foam finger that's bigger than your child on her arm. And, you know, it's why rob you of those experiences? She's just going to sit there and breastfeed anyway. Maybe she has a nip slip, some kind of wardrobe malfunction. Another Rockies fan gets to partake in the
Jumbotron.
Right. Let everybody enjoy the beauty that is your wife. This is a win-win scenario. But even bigger than that, what I love is I love that your sister, because she's your sister, is so much what I love about hanging out with you is like when we do those events, when we would do those Barney things or whatever, and we put all those stanchions around. This is one of my favorite moments. We put all these stanchions around, and then Grandma had the kid, and the kid runs underneath the stanchion. She goes, oh, I'm sorry, Grandma, yeah, the kid has to stay over there. She goes, oh, well, she just wants to see Barney. You go, yeah, but you see these right here? This means that you have to wait in line over there to go see Barney. That's why we put these up here. She goes, well, I try to hold on. I'm going to need you to try harder then. That's what he said to her. And it just makes me so happy inside. So the idea of even your sister being quicker on the draw, like, aren't you too old to be drawing tickets? Like, makes me want to see an Arrested Development-esque show on the Bears family. Oh. Like, mom, dad, everybody gets together and just has snarky comments for rude people all over America.
My wife is so embarrassed of me because I am I don't filter a lot when there's people who are rude or judging. I get right in there and I question them. I think we were together on a gig and we were at a restaurant with a patio situation. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
We were talking and laughing and some old guy was like commented on what we were talking about. Like he was like, "Oh, you guys," something like that, and I'm like, "Well, what's that, Mr. East?"
Yeah,
remember that?
Yeah, I do.
I mean, I have no filter, and it took. Yeah,
it was in the South somewhere. We were at that barbecue joint, wasn't it? It was like a barbecue. Yes, yeah, I remember. What's that, eavesdrop? And then he was like chatting us up like we were friends, and you're like, okay, like.
All right, if you're gonna just jump right in, but it's like I feel like sometimes people need to be called out on stuff like that. It's
they
like,
do, you know, and it feels good to do it. Like I never did it. And then recently I've kind of had moments of doing it. I've dropped a few fuck offs like that, which feels amazing. Oh my God, that feels good. I cannot recommend that, especially if you got kids and you got one of the, you always just that should have one of those chambered that if somebody says something stupid, guess what? There is little to no repercussion because usually they're so self-absorbed. They're not even hearing what you're saying anyway. So you just go, fuck off. And then you just keep going with your life, you know? But my wife, oh my God, I used to be embarrassed and angry. She did it recently where we were at McDonald's and I having this conversation, I need to go back and go, you know what? It's okay that you act that way because I like it. But we're at the McDonald's drive-thru and I was just tired and stuff. And so she goes, they give us all the sodas and she takes a drink of her soda. She goes, this is Diet Dr. Pepper. And so I go, oh, okay, this is Diet Dr. Pepper evidently. And I gave it back to the guy. And then the guy goes, okay. And then he gives her another one. And she goes, this is Diet Dr. Pepper again. And I go, well, babe, I go, come on. After attempt number two, I go, just take it. Let's just get the fuck out of here. We have Dr. Pepper back at the house, you know. And so to make a point, my wife gets out of the car at the drive-thru and dumps her medium Dr. Pepper in the flower bushes. Like, they're like, I don't need this fucking shit. And like puts a lid back on. And then the guy's like sitting there looking at this poor 17-year-old dude is like, do you just want a Coke? Like, because I can get you a Coke. And I go, Jesus Christ, why do you have to be such a bitch? Is what I said to her, you know? But in retrospect, I should have been more cool with it. Go, well, how about you taste it? Let's get everybody, like, why not have fun and laugh about how, because that's what I was really angry about. I'm like, we're at fucking McDonald's. We're not tasting a 1942 cab from the cellar at Fogo de Chao. It's a fucking Coke from McDonald's. Why are you so worried about how it hits your palate, you crazy son of a bitch? You know? But what I should have done was celebrated that moment and said, that's right. We're all assholes in this Warsham clan.
I love your wife.
Oh, I do you. Too.
Yeah, I do. And I think what's a nice takeaway from this is that we should all sometimes tell our friends with kids, like, I like the way you do this. I like the way that you –
It's like that guy. That guy said that in that article at the end. He goes, if you see somebody else who has kids, you know, he goes, go up to them, put your hand on their shoulder and say, you're doing a good job. And he said, brace yourself for them just to break down and cry.
Yeah. Dude, I'm creepy at the airport. If I see one parent with one or two kids traveling on an airplane, because I'm constantly going through security, I'm constantly in a different airport, I am like creepy, like – I give him that. Yeah, I got one too, and people are like, "Whatever, fuck off."
Yeah, isn't that weird? Because I've done that with moms a lot.
I'm just like you're doing. I'm just like, yeah, it's tough, and you're doing a great job. I really kind of support that now, and I've always done that because it's like I almost like, oh man, I'm in the trenches with you, and I'm like Mr. Helpful.
Yeah,
security with like, oh, let me help you with your, you know, because you have to put the stupid stroller through the X-ray that barely fits, and your kid's got to, you know. This mom was trying to wrangle three little girls by herself. And I'm like, you know, little girls, God bless you. That's rough, man.
Yeah. And I've done that where my first mistake was I offered to help with the children, but that's uber creepy. So now I've learned to offer to help with the luggage. I go, here, you go with the kids. I can get this stuff for you if you want. And they do. There's a lot of them that kind of go, no, I got it. Like, leave me alone. Like, I'm like, all right.
You know why? Because they're used to no one offering help.
Yeah. Or you, I think it was you that sent me that that list of parents that are nailing it or whatever, or maybe it was another article about everybody gave out, they had like 200 little sacks of candy that and they said, here's the thing, we have these two newborns, they've never been on a plane before, and they had notes and they said, we're doing our best no matter what, we have earplugs for everybody on the plane, if you want to come and get some, please do, and these are our seat numbers, and they asked the stewardess to give that to everybody in the plane. And And I go, you know what's funny is that's a cool thing, but it's almost sad that that's what everybody has to be reminded of.
Before we had Riley, my wife, a friend of mine had to go to Chicago with newborn twins. And she asked my wife was like, I'm going to go with you and help you, because they were going to be in Chicago for a month for work. Mm-hmm. So she offered to pay my wife, pay for her flight to help her wrangle two kids two newborn twins on a plane to get to Chicago and then do all the, because they were moving into a little apartment, long story longer. But more importantly, on the flight, the kids lost their shit, you know, as what 5 months old are apt to do. And at the, as it's happening, she stood up, my wife's friend, stood up and said, "I'm buying drinks for everyone in these rows," and bought everyone drinks.
That's great.
And everyone was just like so happy and
drunk,
and they were like, "You don't have to do that." Drunk.
Yeah.
They were like, "You don't have to do that." And she was like, "No, it's my pleasure," because no one was mean or weird, and she bought everyone drinks in the row. And my wife was like, "That's pretty freaking awesome."
That is cool. I like, and it's a power move. I like that. It's like,
you know what? It's like embracing. It's like instead of like trying to, you know, embracing the loudness.
Exactly.
Like, well, this is where we are. Let's all go on this ride together.
And that's what I'm taking from this episode, is that I'm going to embrace my wife's bitchiness in the same manner. I'm going to be like, damn right, get this woman a fucking Dr. Pepper. Look at her. She works hard for this shit. Hard to pay our $5 for a burger and a Coke here. It'll lead to a happier marriage, and maybe it'll make me more of a man if I actually tell somebody to fuck off. All right. Let's hurry up so we get you on your plane. We'll do a little moment of the week.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment.
Moment of the week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
I don't know why I did it that way, because the intro just played. But anyway, my moments of the week, I'm away from home, but it was pretty cute in that as I was doing like all this house stuff and everything, I'll do Jack first. Jack, we've had babysitters come by so that I could either A, take Jacob to the dentist, or I had to go do inspections for the home. And it's just been really cute that Jack could be the biggest asshole in the world and is just super cranky in the morning. But the minute that sitter walks in the door, he just turns on like, "Hey," like, and he turns into like a host of like, "Welcome to my house." Even though this person is clearly in charge of him, he goes and he takes my hand. He's like, "Come here, let me show you around." Like, he kind of does this vibe of like, "We, you know, toys, you know," and he points to this stuff. And then he runs around and they have these little sticky guys that they stick to the ceiling. And he's been, you know, throwing that up there. And I know I already told the story too, but he did this with the babysitter where he's carrying around this old GPS that we have and using it as a phone and like laughing into it, mocking me. I know, cause he's mimicking me. But with Jacob, it was really cute. Natalie told me this story. I wasn't there for this, but, they went to Target or whatever. She always, I was talking with my friends about it, how much money she blows through when I'm on the road. It's like, it's really not cost effective for me to work. Like, really, that's the other reason why I need everybody's help to kick down $2 a month for this show. Because if I can make this my job, it's going to save me a lot of money too. Because she's at Target, and I guess Jacob saw this like Ninja Turtle light and a pillow types thing. It's like a plush pillow toy.
Yeah.
And so she goes, "Mom, can I please have this?" And he had been, I guess, very well behaved, which I always think is funny that my wife thinks that we have to Uber reward good behavior instead of just expect it. But so she's like, "He's been so good." And I go, "Oh, honey, maybe later, you know, maybe you could put it on your list for your birthday." And instead of throwing a fit, he goes, "Okay." And he walked back. He wasn't sad. He goes, "Okay." And he walks back, and this is where he nailed her. He turned and he goes, he like kind of did a little sigh and looked back at her and he goes, "Please, Mom, I really, really like this." But like didn't have any whiny tone or anything, and just fucking hooked her like a marlin and just brought her in. So she's like, "All right, come on, your dad's going to kill me." And then he adds the cute factor and goes, "No, Mom, he won't kill you. He loves you."
Ooh, that kid is smart.
Yeah, I was like, "Oh, man, he got you hook, line, and sinker."
You know what? To have a kid not whine, though.
I know.
That's a win.
Especially Jacob. Especially Jacob. He's kind of a whiner. Yeah, he's kind of a whiner.
That's huge. Yeah. Well, there you go. So maybe if you whine one more time, I'm going to lose my shit. Maybe eventually we'll get through that, since Riley is what, you know, 6 months behind Jacob. So
yeah, you're good.
The day's coming. I'm excited. Yeah. For us, it's funny that you mentioned, because mine is about fishing. We take Riley up to Grandma's house, which is up a mountain. They live in this little mountain town. So we'll go up there, and there's a lake. And every now that we've done it a couple times, she's like, go fishing. All she wants to do is go fishing.
How cute.
So I went to Walmart and bought – and there were all the fishing poles for kids. And I'm looking at them all, and I'm like, which one do you want? She saw a Barbie fishing pole. So I bought my kid a Barbie fishing pole, which is hilarious. And she loves it. And it's got a little fake – a little fish that you can tie onto the end of it. And practice casting.
Oh.
It's one of those little Zebco, where you click it and throw. And,
yeah.
And this kid has figured out how to, you have to like push the button, throw it, and then release your thumb at the same time as you're throwing for the line to go out.
Wow.
And then reel it in. She's got it down. She's doing great. So I took her down to the lake, and all she wants to do is throw. And I'm using a real thing with a real hook and a real worm. And she has, once she sees me doing that, she wants nothing to do with her fishing pole. She wants daddy's fishing pole. And she only wants to sit in my lap. And basically she enjoys, which is so strange for a 4-year-old, but all she wants to do is sit on the bank in my lap and just fish and just reel it in and cast it out and reel it in. And it is the best feeling of all time, because she doesn't want to do it by herself. She wants to be with me doing it. It's like something that we're doing together. And it's like she's really craving that. It's something that she doesn't do with her mom or her grandma. It's like her and daddy's thing, and it like crushes my heart. And I could just sit out there, and we've never caught a fish. and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That's not the point. And that's I'm such a big fan of her enjoying that. And again, she's really is, you're right. She's very much an outdoor kid and wants to be outside all the time, to a point where I'm like, can we please put in a movie and sit on the couch in the air conditioning? And it's like, and then I have to check myself. And it's like, this kid wants to be outside, wants to run around, wants to go to the park. I got to embrace that and go for it. And it makes me a better, I'm getting out, getting more exercise and getting more, being outside, it's the weather's turning nice in Colorado, so it's pretty awesome. So yeah, fishing is our new thing, and she's really, really into it, and it's pretty special.
I imagine if Shannon watches you do this, her ovaries are on fire. I just imagine like she's just like, God, I want to tear your clothes off right now.
She does. She's really sweet. She has those moments of watching us together, and she's, she'll like have a little tear in her eye, just because we're pretty close. She's definitely a daddy's girl, and we're definitely very close. And I'm like, yeah, you're never ever going to date ever in your life. I'm the only man in your life forever.
Kudos to you, by the way, for having it to where she isn't like uber obsessed with the catching of the fish. Maybe I don't know if it's because she's never seen anybody catch a fish, or
she's actually, before when she was younger, she's seen me catch fish.
Okay,
she'd be out on the out there with us and watch me and grandpa catching fish. But since we've been doing it, it hasn't, I think it's just the time of year, and the lake isn't the trout haven't started doing their thing yet. So it's going to happen. And when it does, it should be pretty exciting.
That's awesome. That's great.
She catches her first fish. I'll have my iPhone ready so I can put that on Facebook, and you can go, damn it, bears.
Damn it.
All I did with my kid today is play video games.
We did. We finished chapter 15 of Skylanders Giants. That's all we did.
Now I'm going to have to buy a fishing video game.
Don't think that's not going to happen, because I am not getting out there. I like that I like to camp and everything, but I like the more idea of me playing like the guy who's like, no, we'll play a fish. I'll get you Cabela's Big Game Hunter. We're gonna drop a few caribou off the coast of Alaska, and we're
going into nature today, kid.
All right, get on your virtual ATV, and let's drive these quads out, and we're going to have to – did you guys pack your deer urine? Did you put it in your packs? Because we're going to need it. Caribou love deer urine, and
love it.
Oh man. All right. Well, that was our show. You can send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com or give us a call, 408-228-4911. You can join the conversation. I haven't done it a lot, but I would like to ask if there's anybody who has any interest of like conversing or chatting with me. I've done it via Twitter with a lot of the listeners, but I would also, and some of you guys, via Facebook, but please feel free to hit me up on the Facebook page, throw us a like as well, but it's facebook.com/dadpodcast, or you could follow the show on Twitter @dadpodcast. And or you can follow me on Twitter at Justin Worsham. But the big thing is that I'm pushing everybody, and I appreciate those of you that have done it. Please become a paid subscriber for $2 a month or for $24 a year. You could literally change my life and make this kind of my gig, and I would really, 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 truly appreciate that. You can. There are links for that at thedadpodcast.com, and I think that's it. You are also on the Book of Faces, Mr. Bears. Is that correct?
I am. I will jump in and chime into the conversation a lot on the Dad Podcast page, so you'll probably find me there.
All right, sweet. So on behalf of my good friend Joseph Bears, this is Justin Worsham saying, stay frosty.